content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Dave's Garden e-newsletter, the Garden Smart website, North Carolina Extension e-newsletter, and maybe Louise Riant's Carrots Love Tomatoes and Roses Love Garlic. We will start with the Garden Smart website. This article is Radiant Reblooming Shrubs by Proven Winners Color Choice. Who does not love a reblooming shrub? Instead of just blooming once, they go on to bloom again and again. These ornamental shrubs are trialed, tested, and proven to be outstanding in the garden, and when sighted correctly, you'll enjoy these radiant rebloomers all season long. Butterfly Bush, Buddleia, Lo and Behold Series, Miss Series, Pugster Series. Butterfly bush have one of the longest bloom times of all garden plants. They seem to never be without flowers from early summer through autumn. This makes them perhaps better called continuous bloomers over rebloomers, since they don't really take a break like other plants on this list do. Whatever you call them, though, you can count on these three award-winning butterfly bush series to bring the blooms all summer long without you lifting a finger. They do not need deadheading. Simply plant them in a sunny spot and enjoy the show. Hardy down to USDA Zone 5. Sizes vary depending on the cultivar, from 4 to 5 feet to a petite 1.5 feet tall wide. Clematis, Happy Jack, Purple Clematis. There's no shortage of beautiful clematis out there, but the genus has often frustrated and confused gardeners. However, this improved Jackmania blooms reliably from midsummer into fall and is noted for its intense purple color and large blooms. Happy Jack Purple Clematis is easy to grow. It flowers on new and old wood, so you simply have to prune it back to 2 feet each spring. Hardy, down to zone 5, will climb to 6 to 8 feet tall. Smooth Hydrangea, Invincible Series Hydrangea. Dr. Tom Rainey spent well over a decade developing Proven Winners Color Choice Invincible series of smooth hydrangea. With that kind of dedication, you know they're good. Indeed, they are some of his finest work. Neat, compact habits, strong stems that don't flop, an amazing array of colors. Take your pick of 5. And the ability to rebloom without deadheading or any special care. These are truly hydrangeas that even those in the coldest areas can grow and simply enjoy without stress or worry for years to come. Hardy, down to zone 3. Sizes vary depending on the cultivar, from 3 to 4 feet tall and wide to the smallest H. aberrescens yet, Invincible Wee White, at just 1 to 5 and 2 feet tall and wide. Mountain Hydrangeas, Tough Stuff Series Hydrangea. Tough Stuff Hydrangeas really are in a class by themselves. Known as Mountain Hydrangeas, they are closely related to the perennially popular big leaf types, but are native to the chilly mountaintops of Japan, as opposed to the mild seaside where their big leaf cousins grow. As a result, they've naturally developed excellent resistance to cold. If you have given up on big leaf hydrangeas, let Tough Stuff redeem hydrangeas for you. We selected these 4 fantastic plants for absolutely beautiful lace cap blooms, handsome deep green foliage, very tidy, compact habit, and re-blooming ability. They truly are a cut above the rest. Hardy in zones 5 through 9, these compact hydrangeas stay within the 1.5 to 3 foot size range. Roses, Rosa. Oso easy roses are another flowering shrub that's probably better described as a continuous blooming over re-blooming. All 13 varieties in this award-winning series, which includes prestigious recognition from the American Rose Society, start to bloom early summer and keep up the show through frost. If it gets extremely hot, they may have to take a little break to recover, but once cool conditions return, they're back at it and better than before. Each was selected for outstanding color, versatile size and shape, disease resistance, and the fact that you'll never need to deadhead a single bloom to keep the flowers coming. That's what makes them oh so easy. Zone and size varies depending on cultivar, but ranges include USDA zones 3 through 9 and heights and widths of 1 to 4 feet. Lilac, Syringia, Bloomerang series lilac. Bloomerang purple lilac, the original re-blooming lilac, is still a classic, and the series has grown to include 4 fragrant, re-blooming, disease-resistant selections. Whichever one you choose, you can expect Bloomerang lilac to bloom in mid-late spring along with other lilacs, some a bit later, depending on conditions, then take a rest through about late July before it starts to push out clusters of fragrant new blooms through frost. You do not need to trim or deadhead Bloomerang lilac after it blooms in order to get a rebloom, but trimming does result in more flowers since it encourages more new growth. The more new growth Bloomerang lilac puts on after its first bloom, the better the rebloom will be. So it's more important to keep it happy and growing vigorously in this period. Do not let it dry out. Do not let it get too soggy. Lilacs are extremely sensitive to wet conditions. And consider giving it a little dose of rose fertilizer as the first bloom is winding down to boost new growth production. Hardy in zones 3 through 7, larger cultivars will reach heights of 4 to 6 feet, and dwarf cultivars will get to be 2.5 to 3 feet tall and wide. Wiglia, Sonic Bloom Series, Wiglia. Think of the Sonic Boom Series as a modern take on an old-fashioned favorite. All the charm of your grandmother's Wiglia, but with high-powered rebloom that will have your family making all new memories. Take your pick of 5 fabulous colors and enjoy its bloom alongside other Wiglia. Then, after a little rest, watch those trumpet-shaped blooms come blaring back summer through fall. If you are a Wiglia lover, you probably already know that they attract hummingbirds, which gives Sonic Bloom yet another advantage over other types. They provide food over a much longer period, including that crucial autumn migration when hummers really need to fuel up. Hardy in zones 4 through 8 generally range from 2 to 5 feet, depending on the cultivar. Now from Dave's Garden e-newsletter. Rest is not idleness. And to lie sometimes on the grass under trees on a summer's day, listening to the murmur of the water or watching the clouds float across the sky is by no means a waste of time. That was said by John Lubbock. Great Fruit Trees for Container Gardening by Laura Foreman. These fruit trees grow just as well in containers as in the ground. If you've always dreamed of having fresh fruit, but don't have the space to grow full-size trees in your yard or garden, you're in luck. There are many fruit trees out there that thrive in containers. As long as you plant the right variety and provide it the proper nutrition, you'll be able to enjoy fresh fruit all season long. If you have a favorite fruit, chances are there's a variety of it that's been specifically bred to grow in containers. This is true of apples, figs, peaches, nectarines, lemons, and pretty much any other fruit you can think of. Apple trees will grow as bushes in containers as long as they have dwarfing rootstocks. Since pollination requires two or more trees, you'll want to pick out varieties that will readily cross-pollinate with one another, such as Granny Smith, Fuji, Honeycrisp, Pink Lady, Cox, Jonah Gold, and Gala. Figs are the quintessential container fruit. Whereas many other plants do not grow well when they're root-bound, fig trees actually prefer it. If you live in a cool climate, you should consider protecting them from frost, hail, and snow by either bringing them inside or covering them with horticultural fleece. Easy-to-grow varieties include Brown Turkey and Black Mission. Pear trees need a little extra care, especially if you live in a place that experiences late frosts. Like apple trees, pear trees with dwarfing root stocks will typically take on bush shapes. Try a traditional Bartlett or grow a slightly more eccentric variety like Moonglow. Plum trees produce a lot of fruit and are relatively low maintenance, especially because a single tree can often bear fruit without being pollinated by another tree beforehand. Just as you would with other container fruit trees, you'll want to choose plum tree varieties that produce dwarfing root stocks. Cherries are also self-fertile and easy to grow in containers. You likely won't be the only one snacking on the fruit, as birds may try to sneak a snack as well. Protect your trees with bird netting to keep your harvest from getting stolen. Peaches and apricots grow best in places where they won't be subjected to late winter frost. The trees flower in early spring, so you'll want to make sure they're protected from any frosts and storms during that time. If frost is in the forecast and you can't put them under an adequate shelter, either cover them with horticultural fleece or bring them inside. Although most varieties are self-pollinating, planting them in pairs will ensure you get a larger, healthier harvest. Once you've decided what fruit you're going to grow, choose the right containers for the trees. Trees need space, so select a pot at least 20 inches in diameter. The material of the pot is up to you. Fruit trees grow well in terracotta, plastic, or ceramic pots, as well as whiskey or wine barrels. If you're going to move them indoors during winter, you want to take the size and material of each container into account. After all, it's easier to move a lightweight plastic pot than a heavy ceramic one. Fruit trees need plenty of water and sunlight and also need growing media, potting soil that contains nutrients. Potting soils are generally sterile. That's so you won't introduce diseases and insects in the container. We favor splurging on the highest quality potting soil you can find, preferably one that contains nutrients. Once the tree is planted, you will not change out the soil frequently, so it's best practice to start with the good stuff. Even though a high quality potting soil may contain nutrients initially, young trees tend to deplete them pretty quickly as they grow. adding nutrients throughout the growing season with a slow-release plant food like Osmocote will ensure your trees are receiving the right amounts of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium when they need them most. The best part of planting fruit trees in containers is you can move them around to find the best growing location for them. You'll want to look for a place that gets plenty of sunlight and minimal exposure to wind and elements. Trees also need some protection from the sun to grow properly, so your best bet is place them in a spot that meets the sunlight requirements on their tags. Water is also important. The downside of growing trees in pots is they tend to dry out sooner than planted in the ground. Set up a watering schedule to ensure your trees get all the water they need. Check the soil often by sticking your finger in it and making sure it does not get too dry. Replace nutrients in the soil throughout the growing season with a nutrient-dense plant food like Osmocote. Every few years, you'll want to remove each tree from its container, prune the roots, replace the soil, and add in a bit of compost. The first few years of growth are especially important. While you may be antsy to pick the harvest, you're better off pinching off the developing fruit for the first couple of growing seasons. Postponing the harvest will allow the trees to put their energy towards establishing roots and developing strong, healthy growth. If you want to enjoy a bumper crop of tasty fruits, a little bit of waiting is essential. Container fruit trees are great if you have the space to plant them in the ground, even if you have the space to plant them in the ground. Regardless of whether you have a large yard or several acres of land, planting fruit trees in containers allows you to place them much closer to the kitchen. Instead of running clear across the property to pick lemons for a refreshing pitcher of lemonade, apples for a homemade pie, or figs for a savory jam, all you have to do is walk over to your patio or deck and take what you need. Plus, who does not love the sight of fresh fruit trees? Healthy fruit trees may take a few years to grow, but with proper nourishment and plenty of sunlight and water, you'll be able to harvest fresh fruit for years to come. And now, from the NC State Extension Gardener, a plant watch, dwarf crested iris. A surprising native plant has proven to be a raging success in my garden. Iris cristata, otherwise known as dwarf crested iris. This lovely herbaceous perennial is a fast-growing ground cover that can handle full sun to part shade. Cheerful violet to blue flowers appear in mid-spring in the mountains. The plant rarely grows above 6 inches tall, but can spread quickly to provide a thick mass of attractive light green leaves that persist for 3 seasons. At home in my small woodland garden bed, Iris cristata truly shines as it does in the large colonies found in natural areas in our nearby forests and protected areas. A favorite spring spot is the Baxter Creek area in the Great Smokies National Park, where the trail is flanked on both sides by foot-wide patches of blooming dwarf-crested iris. Consider adding this easy-to-grow native to your backyard. Incredible edibles, tomatillos. The tomatillo, or husk tomato, looks very similar to a tomato plant, except each fruit is enclosed in a papery wrapping that is removed before eating. Tomatillos are used primarily in fresh Mexican and Guatemalan dishes, such as green sauces and salsas. Because tomatillos are a warm season crop, the best growing conditions are day temperatures of 80 to 90 degrees Fahrenheit and night temperatures of around 60 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. The plants prefer well-drained soil, and their bushy habit requires as much as 3 feet between plants. They do not like to be supported by a trellis or a cage. For best flavor, harvest when the fruit fills the husk but is still green and firm. Store in a cool, well-ventilated place in a single layer. They can last for months if the husk is left attached. Sustainability, straw bale gardening. If you like to grow vegetables or flowers and have limited space or poor soils, you may want to try straw bale gardening. Begin by selecting bales derived from wheat, oat, or rye straw. Do not use hay or pine straw. Select bales that are free of weeds and fire ants. You do not want to introduce any new pest to your landscape. Select a site receiving full sun and close to a water source. Leave the strings on and place the bales on their sides with the cut side of the straw facing upward. Condition the bale by using the following method. Days 1, 2, and 3, water bales thoroughly. Day 4, add 1 cup of dolomitic lime and a half cup of 46-0-0 or 34-0-0 and water in. Days 5 and 6, add a half cup of 46-0-0 or 34-0-0 and water in. Days 7, 8, and 9, add a fourth cup of 46-0-0 or 34-0-0 and water in. Day 10, add 1 cup of 10-10-10 or 8-8-8 and water in. Day 11, plant bales. To plant the bales, use a pruning saw or serrated knife to create a 6-inch by 6-inch hole in the bale. Place a transplant in the hole and fill the hole with potting soil or compost. One bale will grow 2 determinate tomatoes, 4 pepper plants, 2 squash, 2 melons, 2 cucumbers, 6 to 8 lettuce plants, 6 to 8 pepper plants, 2 squash, 2 melons, 2 cucumbers, 6 to 8 lettuce plants, 6 to 8 broccoli plants, 6 to 8 strawberry plants. Straw bales will need water more frequently than soil. Check moisture daily and water plants as needed. Fertilize every 2 weeks with a complete fertilizer by adding 1 tablespoon of complete fertilizer around each plant. At the end of the season, recycle your straw bales by removing the strings and composting. And now from Carrots Love Tomatoes and Roses Love Garlic by Louise Rioux. Geranium. The hybrid geraniums in scarlet, cherry, salmon, coral, and white are simply gorgeous. In addition to these introductions, geraniums that could only be propagated by cuttings can now be grown from seed. Geraniums make good companions for roses because they repel Japanese beetles. Geraniums also repel cabbage worms when planted among the brassica, and the white geranium is helpful when planted near corn. Geranium scented leaves. In competition with the gorgeous zonals, the sweet-leaved geraniums fell out of fashion, but the wheel is turning again. The sweet-leaved geraniums offer the best of scents and immense variety, including the filbert, nutmeg, cinnamon, almond, lemon, orange, apple, anise, rose, pink, musk, violet, lavender, balm-scented, and many more. All of these also bloom, but the flowers are inconspicuous. A leaf of the rose-scented geranium in the bottom of the glass imparts a delicious flavor when making apple jelly. Use the oil of geranium as an insecticide against red spiders and cotton aphids. Gladiolas. Thanks to Dr. Foreman McLean of the New York Botanical Gardens, we now have sweet-scented gladiolas. Gladiolas are gorgeous flowers, tall and dramatically beautiful, coming in many brilliant colors. But keep them away from peas and beans, which dislike their presence. Globe artichoke. This elegant perennial dates back to the 16th century and is a form of cardoon, a favorite of the ancients. It prefers cool, often foggy summers and is grown mainly in California. If allowed to blossom, the great thistle-like flowers are gorgeous. The edible bulb buds are a great delicacy and one of our most expensive vegetables. Gloxinia. One of the most popular gift plants, this native of tropical America is remarkable for its richly colored, velvety leaves and large, bell-shaped flowers. It is widely cultivated as a houseplant and in greenhouses. Goldenrod, sweet. There are more than 100 species of goldenrod. It is used for dyeing, giving color from mustard to brown olive, depending on the strength used. Anise-scented goldenrod is a delightful beverage plant. Collect the leaves when the plant is in bloom and use them, fresh or dried, with peppermint leaves as an after-dinner summer tea. Goldenrods are also medicinal, for not only did Native Americans employ this common plant as a cure for sore throat and for pain in general, but herbalists also recommend it today as a diaphoretic in colds and coughs, and as an aid in rheumatism. In fact, the generic name, solidago, means I make whole, that is, heal. Goldenrod is incorrectly blamed for hay fever and similar allergies. Ragweed, which blooms at the same time, is the real culprit. Golden seal, Indian turmeric, orange root, yellow puccoon, a perennial flowering forest plant of the eastern United States. Golden seal has showy 8-inch wide leaves and greenish white 1/4-inch flowers, followed by large clusters of red fruit. Native Americans dried and ground the thick yellow root for medicinal purposes. Funkia, plantain lily. This plant is characterized by its bold, colorful, fragrant flowers that are excellent for cutting, and its leaves that are dramatically splendid in cut arrangements. Hosta crispula, Hosta crispula, of Japanese origin, has 2-inch flowers of funnel form and lavender color, and each leaf has a serrated look. Protect from strong winds. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler. You have been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138.